And the roundtable has been assembled as we talk about Sunday's game between the Browns and the Cowboys. Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Gentlemen, we'll start with this. The bye gave this team certainly a chance to get healthy or healthier, and we'll see how that, and we'll talk about maybe some other injury issues that have come up since. But generally speaking, Doug, healthy physically, I'm focused more on the frame of mind of this football team, and that maybe having this break can do some better things there with regard to the attitude. Because just the way you hear players kind of talking, the enthusiasm that you see in practice, they seem like a team that feels like we're going to go out now and show that we are better than 2-7.
Well, I think the fact that you ended started the bye with a loss, that makes you want to get back in a hurry. And I think this team, whether they had to buy or not, they've got a bunch of young guys that don't want to accept losing. You look at a Richardson, never really had a losing program.
Right.
Whedon, never had. And, Schwartz, I mean, these guys, be it buy or not, I just think, they want to, win. And then the older guys that have been around, like a Phil Dawson, here's a guy who's dying for a winning season.
Yeah, I concur with all that. Yeah. The team came back, revived, recharged, all the things you would hope. But I agree with Doug. I think there was a bad taste in their mouth coming off that field against Baltimore, and they were hoping to get back on the field a week later. So it was a good time to kind of, like we've talked about, sit back, evaluate. I think it's a shame, though, if we had 70 degrees and sunny skies last week in Cleveland, and we're going to have a nice weekend here again. And, of course, an away game.
The Browns
doesn't
on the road.
It figure?
It does sort of figure. As I look at this matchup, I mean, I see a lot of ways that the Browns could exploit this team, starting with the running game, starting with Trent Richardson, and looking at that Dallas front seven, Doug, that did not look all that strong against the run against Philly for the limited time that Philly tried to test them.
Yeah, I think, first off, I think, Brandon Whedon's going to have to use his cadence, because they got some guys that are pretty loosey-goosey, mm-hmm. will jump off sides and give you the free play.
Yes.
The guy, obviously, is, DeMarcus Ware is the guy who really gives you the most concern. And the young cornerback, Claiborne, I mean, he's had some problems too. So, they've got some holes, and it'll be interesting to see what Rob Ryan, does to against the young quarterback, other than putting 12 people on the field. So it'll be an interesting challenge.
Do you see, though, a team that's doing a more conventional pass rush than is typical of Ryan? And, I mean, that's what I see. If that's the case, why wouldn't he stay with that? Or do you think because it's a rookie, he changes it up?
I think he'll probably change it up a little bit. But I think, last year, his system, because of the lockout and coming in late, and the corners that he had last year, not being able to stand up to the wide receivers, they went out and they got Carr. They moved up to get Claiborne. So, they know that they've got to get the back end fixed. And they're still, I think, a little slight at the safety position. So, when you see the safeties being maybe the weak link, you think tight ends. And, I would hope that, our tight ends get more incorporated in the game plan.
Yeah, Tom, when you look at Trent Richardson, and the narrative on him is a guy who's shown toughness and overcome injury, sore ribs, et cetera. But a guy now who could conceivably put together a third consecutive 100-yard rushing
never
game.
Never been done, right?
And it's not been done, certainly for a rookie on the Cleveland Browns. And I see even more than that. I see a guy who I think wants to carry this team in so many ways. Literally carry the ball, but literally carry the team.
I'm with you, Vic. And, I threatened to punch him in the locker room today, but he said he was going to hit me back. So I thought the better part to move on from that. But I agree with you. I think he's finally healthier probably than we've seen him all year. I think that was a real good week off for him. And I think this team during that bye week would probably took it, the offense anyway, took it ways to get the ball to Trent outside in space. We've talked about that all season long. I think he's a very valuable weapon when he's given the ball on the edge and can do some things. So, yeah, I'm looking for big things from him on Sunday.
And Brandon Whedon, and Tom, you and I talked about this at practice too, a guy who – after a couple of rough games, is clearly feeling some sense of pressure. We heard from Coach Shurmur saying that, you know, cut down on the interceptions or stop throwing interceptions, pretty bluntly about that. And there's no argument there. 12 picks is not a good number for him to have, only one fewer than his counterpart from Dallas, Tony Romo. But I still see a guy that I think this team believes in, but it's just interesting, the little prodding that he's received.
I thought that was exactly the case this week. I thought when Coach Shurmur answered my question that way so declaratively on Wednesday that, you know, don't throw interceptions, done, end of story, I thought, well, I'm sure Brandon has heard that at some point as well, and I think it's probably a good thing for this team at this juncture to maybe put a little bit of fire underneath him. And you know what? If they really do believe in him, they want to see that he can respond to something like this and handle the criticism. And I did like the way that Whedon came out and addressed some of those situations earlier this week.
Yeah, I mean, after the opening game against the Eagles where he threw the four picks, he came back with a good game.
Yep.
But I think, you know, if during the bye week the coaching staff found a way to clean up the communication system, it'll help Whedon too, because when he gets to the line of scrimmage and there's only a few seconds left on the clock, you know, and trying to, you know, find out where the safeties are, you know, that becomes a problem. So I think, you know, that will help Brandon Whedon too.
To Doug's point, that's what Brandon did tell me this week, that's been the biggest issue with the communication situation. It's, you know, the delay in getting the play in doesn't allow him then to come up and take a real good look at the defense and maybe, you know, audible out of it and do something else.
And he needs a real good look.
No question.
More than the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Manning's of the world, who glance and see a lot more than a guy who is, again, still a rookie. Even if his chronological age suggests that he should be otherwise. It's the roundtable portion of the show. Doug Deacon of the Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers of the Associated Press. But this would be a good time or good test, because as we look at the Cowboys, they do have those edge rushers. If you can somehow kind of get a handle on that, I think everything else after that is manageable, even for a young quarterback.
Totally agree. You know, I watched a good chunk of that Eagles-Cowboys game last week just from this standpoint. You could take kind of a look at them, and I think they are susceptible, especially down the seam. And I think you're right. I think if you can handle those two guys on the outside and find ways to gash them, Doug knows better than I do on how you scheme that up and block it. But, yeah, I think there's some yardage to be gained there.
How do you scheme that up and block that, big guy?
I'm used to the Dallas old flex.
There you go.
Too tall and Randy White and company.
That's right.
You know that Ware is going to go to the open side. So we're a right-handed formation team the majority of the time. So that means Joe Thomas is going to get him. You like the matchup there. You know, on the other side, Mitchell Schwartz, he's played well enough that, you know, I don't think he got help. And Spencer's not that the pass rusher. I think in his career, the most sacks he's ever had in one season is six. So, you know, he's not Ware on the other side.
Yeah.
You know, he's good against the run. He'll set the edge for you. So, you know, and Ratcliffe, I think, you know, he's kind of worn down, you know, as an undersized nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's one of the matchups I think you have to watch, too, because he's, you know, one of those active guys that can give a center or a guard some trouble.
The other thing that I really want to see with these remaining seven games on the schedule show us is how these receivers are going to perform. I mean, I think we've seen what could be classified as progress so far, right?
Clearly.
Is that fair? Okay.
Yeah.
So there's progress. There's better performance. No continuity. We know that much. They haven't had the same set for two games through this whole first nine games of the season. But incrementally, I think they're getting better. And I guess I want to know what you guys think, too, or what to make of Greg Little's decision to take it upon himself to address the team, a guy who's coming from a place where he's had to overcome some things, especially drops and some immaturity and all that. What does that say?
Well, I think if the message to Brandon Whedon was don't throw interceptions, then to the receiving corps it's got to be don't drop the ball. So that's a good place to start. And I think Greg Little has made huge improvements on that in the last couple of games. But I think it was a big step in his maturity, Vic, to be able to, you know, first of all, call the coach and say, hey, I'd really like to address the team as soon as we get back. And then to do it. But let's be honest, the proof is in the pudding. Now he's got to go out, perform, you know, do all the right things and show that he has matured on the field as well as off of it.
Do you like that, Doug?
Well,
first you're smiling.
Off, we started talking about bye weeks, something I can't relate to. We never had them. Then we're talking about giving up your Twitter account, something I can't relate. I don't Twitter.
Never had one of those.
So, but I mean, if you know, I don't mean if you're going to give something up, that's fine. You know, the bottom line is how you play on Sunday.
Right,
you know, and,
right.
And you know, if you go out and, you know, catch the ball, and, you know, he's done a great job blocking the last
five weeks, yeah.
I think. And, you know, that's an extension of the running game, because as soon as, you know, he gets down the field, then you're going to see, you know, Richardson get the bigger chunks of ground.
And I still would like to see Little in more of that slot role. I think he could be really dangerous there. And when you have Massaqua healthy, hopefully, and on the outside, and Gordon on the other side, you know, that's quite a weapon with Little, and dragging him underneath to, you know, break some tackles and get some mismatches.
The health.
He's a tough guy. Yeah. I mean, and he's not shy about contact.
The health concern, of course, that has come up this week is Joe Hayden and that oblique injury, and it's something that certainly has to be a concern, because if you do take him out of the picture, I hate the matchup with these receivers.
Yeah.
You know, it's that dramatic, because we've seen the proof. 4 games of missing Joe during that suspension, a different secondary than those that they are, what they've had since those games that he played. So I'm worried about that.
Yeah, I am too. Obviously, it's going to be a game time decision, probably a pain tolerance thing. He tweaked it somehow, I guess, in practice on Wednesday. But I guess it's kind of karma too. At the beginning of the week, Joe Hayden was the one who was saying it was so good to see Ruben and Taylor out there together, and now he's the one that might be missing. So hey, you know, if he's out, it's gonna force guys to step up. It puts more pressure on Buster Skrine, who's played very well over the last couple of weeks. Trevin Wade would have to get some time. They might have to work Bademosi into the rotation. So we'll see. But I'm with you, Vic. You know, no Joe Hayden. We've seen what that happened for 4 games.
I think it's the mental state of the team. I mean, they've gone through it before, so they know what it's like. So it's not like, you know, we don't have him.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you can't sit there and say, well, we didn't do well without him. What they have to realize is the Buster Skrines did elevate their play during the period of time in which they were given the opportunity.
And the guy that I think in this secondary that I want to see, I talked about this with Hanford Dixon earlier in the show, is the matchup of T.J. Ward versus Jason Witten. That's going to be one of the biggest and it isn't, I know, just Ward, but I mean the secondary in general handling
Yeah, good luck with that, right? Yeah, you know, and that's where, it's, you know, Hayden could come into play as well there too, because, you know, they used him at times against Antonio Gates a few weeks ago.
Yep.
So I think it would not just be on TJ to handle him.
Yeah, 66 catches.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Witten, he's not the guy that's going to kill you with a home run, but he's going to dink and dunk you to death.
And
when he runs those option routes, you know, you better be able to, you know, try to make him think you're doing one thing and do the other, because he's pretty darn good at the option routes.
I really think the key for this defense, though, Vic, is to get pressure on Romo early. I mean, he's susceptible to making those bad throws, and I think if this defense can, especially Jabal Sheard, you know, now with Ruben and Taylor in, this could free him up on the outside to really do some things.
I think that's the full expectation.
And I think it's going to be interesting to see what Billy Wynn does when they put him at the end position, because that kid's a pretty good athlete.
He is. He is an excellent athlete. Guys, thank you so much. The roundtable of the show, Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, and then Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.